In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is born. On a day like today, the Nativity of our Savior, there are many Episcopal letters which have been written, and very good ones, which I wish to read to you, but not right now, later on. And the reason why is because on a day like today, a pastor wants to share something of his heart with his flock. That's why those letters are written, because the archpastor wants to share of his heart with his flock. Well, in every church celebrating the Nativity today, pastors want to share from their heart. And this is what I want to do with you right now. This gospel is not about expressly the Nativity of Christ, right? It isn't the Nativity narrative. It isn't about a baby in a manger. It is about what happened after the Nativity of Christ. We're not quite sure exactly how much after, but not on the day of the Nativity. Probably not the week of the Nativity. It's when the wise men came, the astrologers from Persia, and they came to worship Christ. And they inquired from Herod where the Christ child would be born. The reason why they did this is because by God's dispensation, the star, which was actually an angel guiding the wise men, moving in a way a star does not move, moving from north to south, and not according to the way it would in that area, it disappeared when they came to Jerusalem. They didn't know where to go. So they inquired. And then Herod knew of their intentions and told them, when you worship the child, tell me so that I can worship him. And of course, his intentions were not to worship, but to kill. And shortly after the wise men had left, he did kill 10,000 holy innocents, trying to make sure that he killed the Christ child. But already our Lord was either in Egypt or on his way to Egypt during that time. Here's what I want to share you from my heart. When the wise men had finished worshiping the Lord Jesus, it says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country another way. This is very significant. Every time I read this, I'm filled with great joy. There is another way, brothers and sisters. Not the way of the world, not the way of death, not the way of mundane life. There is another way. And we're celebrating that the God-man came down, became incarnate. Actually, God became the God-man, so that we could have this other way. And so these wise men, of course, went another way so as to avoid Herod. But mystically, this means there is another way now to live because Christ is born. There is another way to be. There is another way to become. Human life is filled with sorrow. It's filled with sin, uncertainty, incompleteness, sickness, death. But there is another way. That way is life. That way is perfection. That way is completeness, peace, righteousness. And that way is obtainable because of Jesus Christ. So we must apply the Nativity to our souls. We must learn to live in another way. Now, sometimes when I look at my own life and I happen to know the lives of many other people, and they're very similar to mine, I see how mundane we live, how easily we become angry, confused, how easy it is for us to be lazy with holy things and diligent with things that don't matter. It seems like we're always living in the way of the world. But that wasn't what we were born for. We were born for perfection. We were born for eternal life. And that eternal life is to be in God and with God, to be united with him, to not have anything in us that is corruptible. We see corruption every day in our life. But we weren't born for that. We were born for another way. We were born to know Jesus Christ personally, intimately, by becoming like him. And that is what the incarnation of the God-man provides, for us to become like him. Now, there is much that must transpire for us to become like him. He gives us the ability, but he does not give us the will. He strengthens our will, but he does not give us the will. We must desire to follow this other way. And if we do, then indeed we will become perfected. We will become what we were born for. Just recently, I was having a conversation, and as happens so often in conversations, it doesn't hit you until later. And this person said that it really hit her that Christ was born to die. When we look at him in the manger, this is someone whose whole purpose in life as a human being was to die. From the beginning, his purpose was to die so that we could live. But we are not born to die. Now, we do die, and we do live with that stench of death around us when we sin, because anything that is sin is death. Our thoughts, our emotions, our priorities, when they are not holy and righteous, that's a death. But we weren't born to die. We were born to live. We were born to be fully alive. Do you know that in our theology, in our ascetical theology, that we do not consider human beings without Christ to be truly human? You're not truly human until you are a Christ man, where Christ is totally filling you. Because man was created to have Christ within him. If Christ is not within the man, then he is not fully a man. We are becoming fully men, fully humans, because of Christ. That is the other way, not the way of the world. Now, I want to also say something about why this particular passage was selected. Not about the nativity narrative, not about the babe in the manger, but what happened afterwards. Just as on Pascha, we don't read about the resurrection. We read from the first chapter of St. John about the nature of God, Jesus Christ, eternally the Son, becoming man so that we could be one with him. Why do we do this? Why do we look ahead? Well, first of all, in our services, we've already read the nativity narrative many times previous to today. And in the same way, on all throughout the year, we read the resurrection narratives every Sunday. But knowing the history is not what you need. Becoming what the purpose of our Lord's incarnation, his death, his resurrection, was for, is what you need. So we read on Nativity about the wise men and how they went back another way, because Nativity is completely so that you can live another way, a different way, not the way of human flesh without Christ, but the way of being a Christ man, a deified creature. That's why we read it. The same thing on Pascha. And the same thing also after Theophany. Sunday after Theophany, we read of Christ going into the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. Because after baptism comes temptation. After baptism comes life. The living of your life with the power that God has given you, so that you can live differently than the rest of the world. Differently than some of your motivations. That you can be changed, become a deified, Christ human creature. That's the purpose of the incarnation. St. Paul says it in clear language for those who have ears to hear in the epistle, one of my favorites of all the epistles, where he speaks of the fullness of time. God sent his Son. That's the incarnation. And then he says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you're no more a servant, or a slave, actually. The word is slave. You are no more a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do you know what this means? This is possible because of the incarnation, and then because of baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We can become something that we are not. We can become, as the scripture says, gods. It's not blasphemous to say that. The psalm says, ye are gods. And the church understands that to mean that we will become godlike. Full of righteousness and truth and mercy and the knowledge of God. Something that we do not have by nature. Jesus Christ is the Son of God by nature, eternally. But we are not sons of God by nature. We are adopted into sonship. And with this adoption, we are treated completely as sons. But this necessitates a change in the way we think, the way we live, the priorities we have, how we spend our time. It means we must live a different way, another way. This is what my heart wants to tell you today. On this day of Nativity, when the Lord has made it possible for us to be adopted, to be of his family, to become united with him and perfected in him, we must, in everything we do, remember this and not live the way of the world, but to live the other way, the holy way, the way that makes no sense to the world, the way that is foolishness to the world. We must remember this in everything we do. We were born to be alive, even though there's evidence every day of death in us. From our sins, from aging, from the mistakes we make, from our uncertainties. If a Christian has an ability in their heart that God gives, they feel that death. But that death is not natural. That death was not the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is to be alive in Christ. And with God becoming man, it is now possible. Remember this. Live a different way than the rest of the world. And if there are things in you that are living like the world, beg God to help you with them. Do something about it. You were born for perfection. Don't wallow in mediocrity. None of us should be mediocre. All of us should know God and feel God in everything we do. With every breath we take, we should feel the Holy Spirit. If we do not feel this, then we must change the way we live. This is the purpose of life, to live a different way than just being a human, but to live as a Christ human. The Greeks have a word, theanthropos, God-man. We are also to become God-men. We call Jesus Christ the God-man, but we are to become God-men. We are to become like God and be united with God. And to do godly things and to have the knowledge of God and to be united with Him in holiness and wisdom and purpose. This is that other way that is possible today. Christ is born.